you are representing the entire band, which is amazing. That is a weight on your shoulders that I would not envy, but I'm sure we can make this work. And your name is, and your band is?
My name is Chris, and the band I'm representing is the Morning Benders.
And the Morning Benders, and are they willing to let you represent them?
Well, they have to. I mean, I'm here.
Right, the old, I'm here, and they're not. Well, you know, you are a new band, and we will talk about the fact that you're a Bay Area band. Notice I didn't say a San Francisco band, because you're technically not a San Francisco band.
That's true.
But nevertheless, there's not, you know, I've got this piece of paper here that tells me, you know, a few things, but it's no fun for me to read that. So give me the band history in the version that you would like to tell me.
Band history. Well, let's see. I guess it all started when I picked up that acoustic guitar, and that was probably in senior year of high school.
Where'd you go to high school?
Malibu High.
In Malibu?
In Malibu, yeah.
Okay. So
Malibu High in San Francisco. Started playing guitar then, and a year and a half or so later, I started writing some songs, and there wasn't a band yet, but that was the beginning of the Morning Benders. Started recording those songs and sort of demo form, and decided that it would be a good idea to put together a band and start playing some of them. It seemed just like the next thing to do, obviously, is put together a band. And the way the songs are written, I kind of had a band in mind for them. So I had some really good friends already that played music, and they happened to play the exact instruments that our band is composed of, so it worked out.
But your friend that played the zither, you said, "I'm sorry, I don't have a place for a zither in a rock and roll band."
Well, I wouldn't have a friend that plays the zither.
I don't either. I'm not really sure where the zither came from. I mean, it was the first instrument that came in my mouth, because accordion was too obvious. But the band has been around since 2005. Mm-hmm. And from what I read, the first EP was recorded on a laptop with just one microphone. So I trust you use Pro Tools and overdubs, or that would have been very lo-fi. One microphone. Okay, let me aim at the guitar. Okay, let me aim it at my voice. Okay.
Yeah, it was done
but it's the way the story's written that it's pretty funny that it says it was recorded on a laptop with one microphone, and I have this vision of, you know, you just kind of waving the microphone back and forth between your voice and the guitar to get the right sound.
It'd be kind of a shoddy mix.
Yeah. Well, it's a way to get an interesting reverb or some sort of, you know, stuff, but never mind.
Yeah. No, we did it. We had one mic, but there's more than one track, like you were saying.
Yes. There were overdubs.
But we did, I mean, because we only had one mic and one track at a time to record, we ended up recording, like, the drums by themselves in a room. We didn't have headphones, or I didn't really know how to do playback and stuff like that, so I was just in the room mouthing the words to Julian as he played through the song, and then we'd overdub from there.
Now, I read that you rushed to finish your degree because it was, quote, getting in the way of trying to do this rock and roll
thing.
Did you
read that somewhere?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, well, after a while, when I was studying music in school, and you'd think it would be so similar, right, to playing music live and whatnot, but it really, there's no overlap really, or very small overlap. So I was spending all my time writing songs and working on learning how to record and playing out with this band, and just seemed like that was where my energy, you know, was going. So I kind of was at a fork in the road. Either I'd drop out of school or finish really fast, and I just decided to finish really fast.
So the album, the new album, and Talking Through Tin Cans, is pretty damn poppy. You're a pretty poppy band for San Francisco. And again, because I play melodic rock and roll and a ton of power pop, hence why we're here talking. But not since there was a sound in the 80s that was called the Berserkly sound. There were bands called the Rubinews and Earthquake and all of them. And they were a power pop label. But San Francisco, you know, we have a few power pop bands, but they're not a lot of pop bands. So, is it your intent to be a pop band?
Yeah, I'd say, especially with this first album, the songs are very much pop songs. They're written with that aesthetic in mind. And yeah, I mean, that's what I love, pop music for the most part. That's, I mean, I listen to a lot of kinds of music, but the music that especially that I was listening to when I was writing that album was all 60s and 70s pop music, pretty much.
In this room, pop music is not a sin, so it's not a problem.
It shouldn't be anywhere.
No, well, it is in some rooms. Maybe a couple of studios down sometimes it can be. You did this album at Different Fur, and mm-hmm. I heard you worked out a nifty arrangement to afford such a upscale recording studio as opposed to the DIY we did it in our bedroom.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, we were doing DIY for a while there in my bedroom, but...
What flipped the switch when you said, oh, it's time to make a real record? Which
right.
This is a real record. This is not DIY.
Yeah, well, we were doing those recordings like in my room and in our practice space and whatnot, and it just seemed so unnatural to be recording just the drums and me yelling the lyrics to him or something so he could... you know, keep the song together or whatever. We wanted to do, you know, get into a studio so we could approach the songs how we originally intended and sort of get a lot of the sounds that we originally intended and instruments that we didn't have access to in my house. So I got hooked up with the studio and met the engineer there, Pat, and I was playing some recordings for him and telling him how we did them, and he thought it was hilarious that... that was our approach, and he started giving me some pointers, and then I ended up working there, working for him as like an assistant and engineering on some stuff and producing some local stuff, and sort of worked it out with him so that we could record our album there as like a work share.
Not a bad deal. It's a good song. Yeah. You have quite the team behind you, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. You have a team and then some. When you go on your website and you kind of read the names and the people behind this band, it's not Playtime at the Zoo. Now, is Plus One the first release from their label? Is your album their first release as a label, too?
It's the first or one of the two first. I met Johnny, who's one of the dudes at the top of Plus One.
Johnny Caps,
and... he didn't really, I'm guessing they probably had an idea for a label, but we hadn't really talked about it, and we were kind of just talking about the band and some of the goals that I had, and he had a lot of cool ideas and interesting just approaches to sort of putting out music and getting music out to people, which is changing, as you know, a lot these days. And it came to the time where we were thinking about how we were going to put out this record, because we were in the studio making it, and he brought up the idea pretty much that they had been thinking about putting together a label for a while now, and it just seemed like the perfect match, because we'd already talked so much about our goals, and Steve and Nat, the other dudes, Plus One, were, you know, all on the same wavelength, and...
Lots of neat keyboard sounds on the record, and I cheated and I read, but a little bit of Highway 61 Revisited, and it was funny because I was listening to one track, and before I read any of did any of my research, I was listening, and my original question was, you know, just wow, there's some pretty neat organy kind of interesting things going on.
Yeah, well, I should say that was one of the things that sort of pushed us, or something we wanted to do for a long time and get into a real studio, like I was saying. A lot of the songs when they were written had these keyboard ideas in mind, and we didn't have any keyboards, so when we got in the studio we were kind of went, you know, keyboard happy, and recorded a bunch of different stuff, and it took a really big it's really important on the album, obviously. Yeah, so there's an organ that we ended up using a lot, and we used it in a variety of ways. The main thing that we were sort of really excited about was the Leslie cabinet, and you're nodding your head, so you know that. It's the rotating fan, and we also put some guitars through that, and we were really happy about the Leslie, so we tried a bunch of stuff through that, and then, yeah, piano and Rhodes and a couple different organs.
So let's get to the music a little bit, and... let's start with the one that is certainly to me the most obvious to talk about, which is Waiting for a War.
I think all the songs were were ridden with the same sort of thing going on. They were all ridden within a couple months of each other. And I was going through some troubles, relationship troubles. And those are just sort of a product of people around me and what I was going through.
Metaphor for bad relationship, waiting
metaphor,
for a war.
Metaphor, yeah. So as does, you can see, what is this?
So I have two questions for you. Is the relationship still over? And what is this girl? This wasn't on my list. And what does this girl think of the album? Because it's all about her, man.
Well, you know, it's actually, I'd say it's more about me. When it comes down to it, what I was going through. I don't want to pin it on one person.
Oh, okay. So
that was you. You did that. I didn't try
to
do that.
Oh, yeah, he's trying to get out of it. We're getting deeper here. The manager's just turning red here. This interview is now not about music anymore. This is going to be a Dr. Ruth.
Dr. Phil.
Or Dr. Phil or some other person with four letters in their name with doctor in the middle of it. The album is just out. I'll let you off the hook. Isn't that nice of me?
It's all on the record anyways. So.
Sure, but I'll let you off the hook. I'll be good here. The album's just out here, and you're off to open for the Kooks. Not a bad way. The album's out, what, on May 6th?
Mm-hmm.
Not a bad way for a new band from the Bay Area to introduce their record. Not exactly, not chintzy by any stretch of anyone's imagination. So the last thing we do before we play a couple of songs is we do a little thing called a musical sandwich, and it's my way of getting into your head. And so I come right back here in this studio with vinyl and CDs, and whatever you ask me to play with my little game show, I will do. So we pick two of your songs as the bread, and then give me six or seven or eight or nine songs in between.
Waiting for a War, because I know you like it so much. Go with Boarded Doors as well.